that I've been thinking about, and it's finding certainty in an uncertain world. And that's kind of what I wanted to talk about. And I don't know about you, but do you like your life to be predictable, or do you like your life to be unpredictable? Maybe you like it to be unpredictable, that way you never know what's going to happen. Maybe you like it to be predictable because you'd have all your ducks lined up in a row. And if you have your ducks all lined up in a row, when things become unpredictable, that kind of can throw you for a loop. At least maybe it has for me anyway at times. But I kind of like the variety in life. And I used to be a little more predictable, but I like things a little bit more unscheduled. And I like the variety that's around. And that's the reason I really appreciate being able to serve in the church, because there's so many different things I'm involved with. It's fun. When I come to work, I never know what's going to happen. It's exciting. It makes it like, okay, this is going to be a great day. And I wonder how God's going to speak today, how God's going to move today, and what's God going to do? What's he up to? And so I get to be a part of that. So I really enjoy that. Well, I do like a little bit of structure. And then raising six children, that's made life a little bit unpredictable, too, at times. You know, raising kids just makes life a little more unpredictable. I'm not quite sure how this is all going to work out, how it's going to play out, what choices my children are going to make, and what, you know, where they're going to go, what's going to happen here next. But it makes things exciting. And I've enjoyed raising our children. Now I have some grandchildren on the way, and so that's been a lot of fun, too. You know, so what is certainty in life? Now, Benjamin Franklin said the thing that's certain about life is death and taxes. And but I think there's a lot more to life than death and taxes. And, you know, I think being a believer in Christ Jesus is the most exciting thing that you can be a part of. I mean, there is nothing more exciting in this world to be a member and part of God's kingdom. And maybe it doesn't get much better than that to know where we're headed, that eternity is before us. It's not boring. It really is not boring being a believer and to realize that, you know, what does God want to do in my life today and where are we going tomorrow? The big idea this morning is, how do you feel about the future? What kind of world will our children and grandchildren grow up in? What can we count on to give us any kind of confidence as we look to the future? Where do we turn for answers? God brings certainty in an uncertain world. And you know, here I talk to people, and I like to hear people, and I like to meet with people, and I like people. And so I like hanging out with people. So I like to listen to people and see what they have to say. One of the things that people say is, boy, this world, I got it pretty good, but I'm worried about my kids and my grandkids. You ever hear that? Well, I'm not sure what my grandkids are going to have to go through. They're going to face a lot more than what I ever had to go through. Well, that may be true. That may be true. Does that put fear in us, or is that frightening to see that happen? And as I've been looking at different things that have been happening, looking at our security, looking at what is for certain in this life, there's a lot of economic concerns. How's the economy going to do? What's the economy going to be like? Look at all the political unrest that's taking place in our country and around the world. Look at what's happening. What's going to happen with unemployment, my unexpected bills, and affordable housing, health care, taxes, everything that's going on around us? What's that all going to be like? What's certain about that? Well, you know, in our personal lives, we face a certain amount of uncertainty. What's the future going to hold? What's going to happen here? What's going to happen here next? And so we kind of have to wrestle with that at times and realize that, okay, in this life, we're going to have that around us. But I don't know if you've noticed or not, but the kingdoms of this world around us are shaking. And if you turn on the news, if you watch any type of news at all, you find out what in the world's going on. I mean, I've been watching the situation in St. Louis where, you know, here they are, they're having these riots. I'm like, wow. And in Ferguson, and you know, these riots are happening. People are very, very unhappy. It's a very, you know, volatile situation. People are being shot, and tear gas is being used. I thought, wow, that's happening right here in our own land, our own country. And it's like we can't really turn our heads and bury our heads in the sand saying nothing's really going on here. But there's really a lot of turmoil that's going on. And then I've been looking at the situation that's been going on in Iraq. This is one that really kind of got me. As we're talking about in the last year, more than 1 million people have fled their homes in Iraq this year. And most recently, in the wake of the rise of this militant Islamic group called ISIS, they've been gaining control of cities and towns from Syria to Iraq, and they're threatening Christians and other religious minorities with death. And up to 40,000, just recently, up to 40,000 Iraqis, many Christians, are trapped. They've been on this mountaintop in northern Iraq, surrounded by these Islamic terrorists. And I've been watching these on TV as far as the children that are dying of thirst. And people, if they come down, they're going to be slaughtered. And basically they're told if they either convert to Islam, they pay a fine, or they die. And genocide is taking place in northern Iraq, where Christians are being actually exterminated. And they desperately need our prayers and immediate to international intervention. And my heart just breaks for these people. And I just want to show this clip here from CNN that explains the situation. So let's go ahead and roll that.
What's going on?
This is truly a living nightmare that's not going away. Christianity and Muslim is dead, and a Christian Holocaust is in our midst. 7 weeks ago, we went to Washington, D.C., and we actually were calling this a Christian genocide. And since then, day by day, it's getting worse and worse. More children are being beheaded. Mothers are being raped and killed. The fathers are being hung. But right now, 300,000 Christians are in Iraq, fleeing, living in neighboring cities, just wanting a chance not just to survive, but to live. And we've been calling on State Department. We had a meeting at the White House last week with Ben Rhodes, myself and other Kalyan community leaders throughout the country. And what we're saying is folks should follow Francis Lee. They should offer asylum. The world community should come together. We've had tremendous success in Washington with Congressman Juan Vargas offering H.R. 683.
I want to go back to something you said, because the atrocities committed by ISIS are well known, but still you're startling me with the severity of what you're describing. You say they are beheading children?
They are systematically beheading children and mothers and fathers. The world hasn't seen an evil like this for generations. There's actually a park in Mosul that they've actually beheaded children and put their heads on a stick, and they have them in the park. This is crimes against humanity. The whole world should come together. This is much broader than a community or a faith. This is crimes against humanity, and they're doing the most horrendous, the most heartbreaking crimes you can think of.
Now, I want to ask you specifically about what happened in Mosul, because it was widely reported that when ISIS took control of Mosul, which, depending on how you do the numbers, is the second largest city in Iraq, they gave Christians an ultimatum, which would be to convert to Islam, to pay a fine, or, in their phrase, death by the sword. It's very clear they are killing people, but are Christians managing to escape by paying a fine? Are the ones who cooperate, at least, assured of any safety?
Sure. So the letter that they sent out with those three items, they did ask to pay a fine, but they're actually, after they pay a fine, they're actually taking over their wives and their daughters and making them into their wives. So really, it's convert or die. Face death by the sword.
Wow. Convert or die. And we have the opportunity to be here this morning and not have to face those kinds of things. But these are brothers and sisters that across the world that are going through situations like this. I look at this and I look at all the different chaos that's going on. You look at what's going on in Ukraine, Russia, I think with Israel and Gaza, Hamas, in North Korea, Iran, China. It begins to be overwhelming. It's like I don't even want to watch the news because of what's going on, what's happening. But it really is happening in our world around us. And so how does God want us to interact with knowing what certainty is all about? Persecution is definitely on the rise, and something we have not faced here. But these are people that we want to care about and to be able just to pray for and be able to just just love them, build love on them. And in Matthew 24, 6 to 10, it says, you will hear of wars, rumors of war, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginnings of birth pains. Then you'll be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And you'll be hated by all the nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. Wow. The fact is that, you know, to be a Christian over there means you're hated. You're hated so much they want to put you to death. And we shouldn't be alarmed. Are we surprised that these things are happening? Are we surprised? Should we be alarmed? And to realize that people want to betray us. And so we may not be facing persecution right now, but there are a lot of Christians that are across the world are facing an extreme amount of pain, and they're suffering for their faith. And I think it's important that when one member of the body suffers, we all suffer, and that they are a part of us. I find it interesting that it says here in verse 10 that at that time, it says, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other. And I wonder, would persecution cause us to feel betrayed in a way that we would actually turn away from the faith? We have it pretty comfortable here, and things are... You know, we have it pretty nice, but if we were facing persecution, would we turn away from the faith in God? And I think it's a challenge for us, for us as people that live here in our land. I've been impressed here with Saeed Abedini. I've been kind of watching his story the last couple years, and this guy is in grave danger, and he's an American pastor. He's an American citizen who's been in prison for nearly 2 years in Iran. And, you know, these terrorists now, terrorists from ISIS are now part of this prison. They're fearing for his life. The government says he's a national security threat, but he's really in there because he's a believer, simply a believer in Christ. And he's going through this significant persecution as he lives his life, this 8-year prison sentence that he's there for. And, you know, I marvel at these guys that are able to stand and test of time and say, Jesus, I put my faith and my trust in you no matter what happens around me. And I kind of wonder, do we have that kind of resolve that no matter what happens, that I'm going to put my faith and I'm going to put my trust in a living God. No matter what goes on, that I'm not going to turn away from God, that I'm going to live my life for him, and I'm going to give everything that I have to live my life and be a faithful believer in Christ Jesus. That's what God's calling us to, is will we be faithful to the very end? What's going to hold us back? Is there something that's going to hold us back? Are we going to allow discouragement and disappointment in our lives that's going to hold us back from serving God? I think that we need to press ahead and press forward in all the things that God has for us. God wants to help us. But you know, maybe this is the sign of the times that this is happening. But you know what, church? I think maybe the best might be yet to come for us. Our best times might be ahead of us. I really believe that. You know, we talk about, some people ask me sometimes, Jim, are we in the last days? Is this the last days? Well, I'm not here to predict anything, but I know that every day we're closer. Every day we're closer to the coming of Christ. Are we ready? Are we prepared? Are we prepared to be able to meet Jesus at any given time? Now, I think we need to make the most of our time right here, right now, with the time that God's given us. I think it's essential that we continue to press ahead for what's going on around us. But sometimes we say, well, I'm not sure about that. Look what's going on around us. It feels so overwhelming. And it's a sign of times. It talks about what's life going to be like. Who are we hanging out with? Who are we going to be around? Well, in 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, it says, you should know this, Timothy, that in the last days there will be very difficult times. For people will only love themselves and their money. They will be boastful and proud, scoffing at God, disobedient to their parents, and ungrateful. They'll consider nothing sacred. They'll be unloving and forgiving. They'll slander others and have no self-control. They'll be cruel and hate what is good. They'll betray their friends, be reckless, be puffed up with pride, love pleasure rather than God. They'll act religious, but they'll never reject, but will reject the power that could make them godly. Stay away from people like that. You know, I think we need to realize we should not give in to societal pressures that are going on around us. And people are certainly giving in to their own desires, if you look all around us. People are giving in to their own desires. Loving themselves, loving their money, loving pleasure rather than God. But you know, what kind of a commitment are we going to make to Christ? Are we going to settle for comfort? Or are we going to fear God? See, have we lost the fear of God? We need the fear of God in our lives. And we need to stand up against this evil by living as God would have his people live. And so I think we need to stand up and realize that what's going on around us should not dictate our faith in Christ. And we need to get stronger, and we need to continue to move closer to God during these times, because we don't know what's going to be certain in this life that we live down here. But hold on, we're going to talk about the certainty of God in just a little bit. So I think it's really important that we be on guard, that we stay alert, and that we be faithful. And it talks about that in Mark 13, 32 through 33. It says, the day and the hour are unknown. But what about that day that no, or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father? Be on guard. Be alert. You do not know when the time will come. The future is uncertain. We don't know what tomorrow is going to bring. But you know what? That means we need to be alert. We need to be ready. Are our hearts prepared? If Jesus were to come back, is our heart prepared? Are we ready? Are we ready to meet him, even now, even today? Would we be ready if Christ returned? Or are we just living our lives the way we kind of want to live it? Living our lives for the pleasure of this life? I'm saying I think we need to press forward and press in to all God has for us. You know, I think that society and the uncertainty that we see around us is pushing, is continuing to push against us, and it makes us kind of fearful, makes us kind of want to pull back. But if anything, I think God is saying we need to press in. And will we be found faithful? And I think it's really important that, are we faithful believers? Are we going to continue to be faithful at all he's called us to do and be? The future in this earthly kingdom that we live right now, like I said, is uncertain. So where do we put our trust? Where do we put our trust? So I can tell you where we shouldn't put it. And that's in Psalm 146, verse 3. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. You know, have you ever been around people that you feel like, okay, make a lot of false promises? They promise you this is going to be like this, or it's going to be like that. Maybe you hear leaders talk about, we're going to fix this problem, or we're going to fix that problem because of all the uncertainty that's going on. I'm telling you, where are we going to put our hope and our trust? I think it's really key right now that we can either pull back and kind of be in our own camp, or we can press forward and put our proclaim our trust in God. Because I think that's where ultimately where our security lies. It's not going to be in this life. It's not going to be down here in this world and a man. We can put our trust in man, but man fails us. Man fails us. But we know who's the unfailing one. So we need to continue to look to him. All right. In Proverbs 27:21, it talks about the earthly kings and the kingdoms that are going to pass away. But God's kingdom will never pass away. So as we look at Proverbs 27:1, it says, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. But I can tell you that you think, well, this king is ruling this nation, that's going to last a long time. But you know what? That king will end up falling away. This ruler in this life will end up falling away. What's going to stand the test of time? What kingdom is going to stand the test of time that we face? It's going to be God's kingdom. That's what's going to stand. God's kingdom will never pass away. that's where we can put our confidence. That's where we can put our faith and our trust in. And sometimes we get blindsided with what's going on around us. So don't boast about tomorrow. You don't know what that day is going to bring. And so we may not always have this comfortable lifestyle that we have. I don't know. We may not. But the question is, if we don't, would we turn away from the faith? Would we continue to be faithful no matter what happens? See, I think it's important that we continually work and see, how can I give my life over to the will of God? Can I give my life over to the will of God? What is the will of God for my life, and how can I receive that from God? And how, what he's telling me and what I should be doing. You know, nothing lasts forever unless it belongs to God. Everything around that we spend our time with is all temporary. But if it belongs to God, it lasts forever. So God causes the rising up and falling down of kingdoms, and we see that happening all across our world. We see kings and kingdoms falling. It kind of startles us and kind of says, what's going on here? And we see that uncertainty happening. You know, one of the things I've been thinking about here, and it's happened in my own life, is, okay, if I go through something I don't like, how am I affected by that? Especially if something that's really a downer and disappointment or a discouragement, do I pull way back? Do I pull way back from God and say, oh, I just kind of exist. I really don't press in for what God has for me. See, I think one thing that's happening is that suffering, or if you go through suffering, suffering is the greatest challenge to the Christian faith. If you're going through something right now, and you're suffering through something, that's our greatest challenge right there. Well, are we going to pull back and allow that to be our identity, and actually that thing that's going in our lives, that will be the thing that challenges us and will actually make us pull back from serving him? You know? And the fact is that we may go through some sort of suffering. How will that affect us? What's going to happen? But see, come on. Doesn't God love us? God loves us. I want his blessing. Don't you want his blessing? We should be able to be blessed in every situation. We shouldn't have to go through suffering. But it sounds like there's people are all across the world that are going through suffering. And that could actually happen to us. But if you go through suffering, and if you're suffering through a situation that you don't like, do you pull back from God? Do you just kind of exist and kind of say, I can't deal with life, and I'm just going to kind of go to work, come home, and just kind of do my thing? Does that affect us and how we serve God? Does it affect our relationship with Christ? We're probably all going to go through some sort of suffering in life. We may not be persecuted like they are in Iraq, but we're going to be going through things in our lives. And it may not be all prosperity. The fact is, we may have a setback. How will that affect us? Well, we just quit going to church, or we just kind of quit this Christian faith because, see, it didn't work out after all. God said he was going to bless me. See, I became a Christian. Look what happened to me. Yeah. In fact, if you talk with a Christian or talk with someone who's not a believer, the first thing they'll say is, look at all the evil that's in the world. Look what's going on around me. They don't have anything to do with Christian faith. If God really loved us, we wouldn't have all this evil stuff happening. Well, maybe God wants to teach us some things. We have to realize we live in a fallen world, and that Satan is on the loose, and people do foolish and terrible things. And that's what's happening. And people experience all kinds of pain, hardship, and disappointment in this life. Isn't this a fun message? Isn't it great? Yeah, I see a lot of faces kind of look at me, okay. We will. We're going to face that in our lives, and we can say, woe is me, or we can say, okay, God, I get the suffering. I don't understand it, but you do. And you want to draw me closer to you. This has kind of happened in my life. I feel like that I just don't understand why sometimes things happen the way they do. But I don't want to let that, my suffering or something I don't think is right, hold me back from living my life fully for Christ. Because I know that God wants to do a work with me, and he'll use that, and he'll bring good out of that. See, I think we can face the future with confidence. This is not a downer message. This is encouragement. We have certainty that can flow from God that he wants to give to us. So, you may not know what the future holds for your children, and certainly not for your grandchildren, but I guarantee you that God's given us, if you're a believer, you've got eternal life coming. So press in. And we have a lot of work to do while we're down here on earth until Christ returns, or until we experience death here in this life. We have a lot of work that needs to be done. But you know what? If you have the Son in your life, if Christ in your life, we can face anything. Anything that comes our way, we can face. Because where does the victory come from? The victory comes from Christ. We can have victory in him. And that victory for God's people has never been in doubt. And you can bank on that. We have certainty with God. He wants you to realize he's going to cause you to triumph. You may not feel like you're triumphing right now, but you're going to triumph. You can count on that. You can count on that. And you can say, that is something that's certain. And at the very end, we win. We're going to win. We're winners. And it may seem like right now, boy, it seems like we're being kind of kicked around. You know what? We're on the winning side. And I like to win. Okay? I enjoyed coaching softball this year, and I like to win. And I'm going to win in the end, because you know what? I've set my heart out, and I'm going to be a winner. And I'm going to set my heart that no matter what happens in my life, I know what's going to happen in my life, but I am serving God. And no matter what happens to me, I'm going to serve him. And I hope that you have that same kind of commitment, that you're going to serve God no matter what. No matter what comes my way, that I'm going to have the tenacity that I'm going to hang in there, and I'm going to press forward to what God has for me. See, we don't have to have any panic about tomorrow, because victory is ours. Victory is ours. In Matthew 6:34, it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know what? I don't have to worry about tomorrow. Now, I think it's good that we plan ahead, and I'm a planner. I like to think ahead. I like to think, where am I going to be in a year from now, 5 years from now? But you know what? I don't have to worry about it. I can give that over to God. That's his. My life is in his hands. And worrying about tomorrow is a waste of time. So if you worry about tomorrow, well, what's going to happen, it's really a waste of time. Because God has it all under control. And to realize that we're trusting in God's guidance. That's where our focal point needs to be at. Is trusting in his guidance. And frankly, we need to spend a lot more time in our Bibles than watching CNN. You know? If we watch and we're really digging into God's Word, what he has for us, that's where we place our confidence. We have a certainty of where we're going. All right. Because you know what? Worrying is not going to solve it anyway. But if you're worrying about something, you're assuming that God has... Worrying is assuming that responsibility that God never intended for you to have. So if you think about this, is a situation you were worrying about, and you just wonder, how is this ever going to work out? Give that over to God. Let that be his responsibility rather than your responsibility. I tell you, you'll have so much more peace and rest. And you'll be ready for whatever comes your way. I think it's important, too, that we make wise decisions. And the future does not come to us all at once. And I'm really glad about that because, you know, 15 years ago, if I knew where I'd be here today, I would have probably freaked out about where the direction my life was going. And maybe kind of thought, maybe look back 10 years ago and you'd see where you're at now. It's like, wow, that really changed. That was really different. But see, God helped you all along the way, didn't he? And he's helping us day by day and as we continue to serve him. But, you know, I think it's really important that we're careful and we're making wise decisions. As our young adult group, we've been talking about what's the wisest decision that I can make today. Looking at my past circumstances, my past experiences, looking ahead to my future hopes and dreams, what is the wisest decision that I can make right now and today? And so we've been exploring that with the young adults, and it's been really, had some really good discussions because, you know, God's given us different experiences. Where do we want to go? What's the most important for today? So it says in Ephesians 5:15-16, Be careful, then, how you will live, not as unwise, but as wise. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Make the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. And so I think Paul here is communicating the urgency, because there's evil around us. And so what kind of standards are we going to have? How are we going to act wisely? I think it's important that we make these wise decisions, that they come from fearing God more than man. In fact, when we fear God more than man, we're going to make wise decisions. So we need to be really wise and make the most of every opportunity. In fact, we've been talking about the cumulative effect in our lives. For instance, if I decide, like, I quit reading my Bible today, if I don't read my Bible today or tomorrow, I probably kind of get by. But if I don't read my Bible for, let's say, a month or so, there's an accumulative effect that's going to have on my life. And that's going to affect me in a negative way. But let's say that I'm reading my Bible and I'm in God's Word and I'm really learning and allowing God to teach me and grow. If I'm doing that on a consistent basis, that's also going to have a cumulative effect. And that's going to have a very positive effect in my life. And so I think it's important what kind of effects, what kind of things are you doing in your life to have a great cumulative effect. So God wants to help us in that area. But it's important, like I said, we need to fear God more than man. And Matthew 10:28 says, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. See, it's important what choices we're going to make. What choices are you going to make when you face difficult circumstances? What are you going to do with them? The choice is yours to make. See, our final destiny, that's what's important. That's what's important. And each day, we're getting a day closer to our final destiny in being with Jesus, whether he returns or whether we die here from this earth. And certainly, the fact that, who am I going to be afraid of? Am I going to be afraid? I'm so taken back by Iraqi people. When I just watched them crying on top of that mountain, and I saw them, can't imagine what it's like not to be able to drink water and be able to eat. And realize if I go down the mountain, I'm going to be slaughtered. And to realize that they feared God more than they feared man. That's my heart just breaks for them. Heart really breaks for them. And to see what they're going through. And yet, they got an eternal reward. That's a certainty. They've got an eternal reward for them coming. And look forward to meeting them someday. What that's going to be like and hear about their life. Like I said, the best is yet to come. We have so much to look forward to. And we're going to look to the unchanging one. So in James 1:12 it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial. Because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. Man, heaven's waiting for us. We're going to get there. We're going to see the fullness of our destiny. And you know, we can experience a lot of God's presence right here. And we are. And I love how we worship this morning that I am free. I love that. God wants to give us freedom even now. He wants to free us from discouragement and disappointment. I really believe that. He wants to free us. He's the unchanging one. He's really the unchanging one. And I can't wait to meet the unchanging one someday and meet family and friends that have gone before me. They're in heaven. So as, no matter what's going on around us, we can count on the fact that Christ is unchanging. And Matthew 28:20 says, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of age. He says, I am with you always till the end of the age. He's with you.
He's with you. He's on your side. He's saying, come on, you can make it. You can do this. He's trying to encourage you that, yeah, your destiny's yet to come. And to continue to serve me, don't fall away. Don't fall away. Persevere. You know, I'm so just honored and blessed to be a child of God, because when Jesus left this earth, the Holy Spirit was given to us. We have the Holy Spirit. Isn't that awesome? We got the Holy Spirit. No matter what we face and what we go through, if we go through persecution, we have the Holy Spirit to help us go through that. All right, so in the middle of our insecurity, maybe feel insecure at times, he's going to be our refuge. And he's brought an eternal hope to this world. Now, I really believe that Jesus brings his presence into our suffering. He brings his presence into our discouragement and our disappointment. As I was praying and I was just asking God, just crying out to God, God, help me with this message. Help me. What do you want me to share? What's on your heart? What do you want me to convey? He really wanted me to convey the fact that his presence is with you in your suffering. His presence is with you in your disappointment. His presence is with you with your discouragement, disappointment. He's with you. He's with you. He wants to help you. And I feel like that some of us need to press in and give those disappointments, those discouragements, the things we're suffering, I think we need to give them back to God and quit carrying those around. I really believe that's so essential and so important, because I don't want that to affect or destroy our relationship with Christ. I think we need to continue to press in. So I think we need to change our mindset. So, you know, maybe you're more mature than me, but sometimes my mind has said, well, God, if I'll do this for you, if you do this for me. So I need to change mindset. I've asked God to help me with that at times. To realize, you know what? I'm giving it all to him. And let him do what he wants to with my situations. And some of us need to take a step of faith this morning and break through our suffering, disappointment, and discouragement. Because Jesus is here to give us the hope and peace in our disappointment. Some of us need to press in and engage with God despite our circumstances, because Jesus has not abandoned us. You're not abandoned. He has not left you, or he has not forsaken you. I can tell you that. I can tell you that. And I want to encourage you. This has been on my heart this last week. Is I want to encourage you to pray for people that are being persecuted, losing their lives, even being beheaded. Really encourage you to be praying for those people that are going through all kinds of adverse situations. Maybe you want to provide funds to organizations like Samaritan's Purse, who's trying to assist them in humanitarian aid. I get home today and I got a meal waiting for me at home. I get a drink of water. Pretty blessed. Some people don't have that. My heart breaks for them. The reason I think, God, if they can go through that, I can face my circumstances. I can face whatever comes my way. Whatever this life brings me, I can face it. So, this is what I feel like. I want to play this DVD clip. It's called Oceans. And I'd like to have you just stand. And I want you, if you're going through suffering or disappointment, discouragement, I want you to give that back to God. If you feel like you need to come forward, if you can stay there in your seat if you want to, but do what you need to do to give back to God. Allow him to help you. He has certainty for you. All kinds of certainty for you. And even though you may not feel like this world here or the things around you are very uncertain, he wants to bring you that certainty. Jesus, we call upon your name. And we say we're yours. we're yours. We need a presence. We need your presence. You're our Savior. You've come. You've come to rescue us. You've come to be our help in our time of need. Lord Jesus, I pray, God, that you just continue to help us in the things we face here in this life. God, we know our certainty is with you in this uncertain world that we live in. But God, I thank you that we, as we call upon your name, that your presence goes with us wherever we go. And thank you, Jesus, about your presence and how your presence goes before us. And that as we leave here today, I pray that you would help us to realize that no matter what we face in this life, that Jesus, you're going to take us where we need to go. And we praise you. And just take us where you want us to go, God. Because our lives are yours. And we declare that. And we thank you that we can call on your name today. In Jesus' name, amen.